On Point, hosted by Peter Van Aartrijk. Conversations with interesting and informative experts on technology, branding, culture, social media marketing, and other great topics.
Hello again, everybody. I'm Peter Van Aartrijk, your host for On Point, brought to you by our good friends at Wells Media, which includes Carrier Management, Insurance Journal, and other fine publications. Our guest today is Anupam Gupta, who's the Chief Product Officer at Applied Systems. Welcome, sir. How are you?
I'm good, Peter. Thanks for having me here.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to our chat. I think I heard you speak at AppliedNet in 2024? I think you did, right?
I did. I've been at Applied about 3 years. So I've spoken at all three Applied Nets.
All three of them. God, time flies. Maybe I was at, I was at the first one then. You might have just joined.
You know, it's interesting, Peter. I joined in August 22, and AppliedNet, as you know, is in October. So 2 months in, Taylor, our CEO, says, hey, come on up, join my keynote and introduce yourself to the audience. And that was probably about 2 months in. So that was fun.
Just 4,000 of your closest friends, right?
That's right. That's right.
No, it's a very welcoming group, the insurance industry, I find. And it's a good crowd there, and you know, independent agents and all the folks who work hard at the agencies, the processors, the CSRs, the producers, they're good peeps. I've enjoyed them over the years.
I learn a ton. I mean, I get my energy from, you know, just interacting with customers, et cetera. That conference is quite something. The marketing team does a great job. But also, I think the enthusiasm that everyone has just to learn what's new, how do we use things, share their learnings with others. You know, they're not afraid to speak their mind and really let us know, you know, what we could be doing better. I mean, all that just is fantastic.
Yeah, it is. You know, I think what it comes down to is it's they're toiling away every day in the business. You know, it's a lot. And in recent years, the market, you know, the pricing, they've been having to deliver some very tough rate increases to their clients. And they've been on the receiving end of a lot of abuse from people buying car and home and business coverages. And you know, they get out of the office, which is a really nice treat to do that on, you know, usually someone else is paying for it. And they come to AppliedNet, and it's like this big release of fun. It's like, oh, I'm not alone, right? It's like they're with their tribe, and they get to have some fun, of course, because that conference has a lot of fun involved with it too. But they, like you said, they're also learning some things, and they realize that they can do things better, you know? So it's this big release of emotion, I think. That's what I've experienced.
I think that's right. And, you know, we do many things at AppliedNet. Not only is it, you know, the big keynote, et cetera, but the other thing is we do a lot of educational sessions, right? So what's fun for me is when you have those sessions and let's say 30, 40, 50 people are in a room, you're talking about a particular topic, you start the discussion and then it just takes a life of its own. Right, someone chimes in, someone adds in on top, hey, my experience is this, but something different. And I think those interactive discussions are just amazing.
Yeah, and you can't do that over Zoom. It doesn't work.
No, there's a certain energy of just being there, having fun. It's like you said, your peeps, and they want to share. They want to share.
Yeah, you're so right. Well, Anupam, let's get back to you for a moment. Where are you from originally? And let's talk a little bit about your career and how you got to Applied in 2022.
Yeah, so I grew up in India, Peter, but I've been in the States about 30 years now, and most of the time I've lived in Seattle. In fact, I'm in beautiful, sunny, green Seattle. You know, it's a myth that it's always gray here. It is absolutely beautiful and very blue skies outside. So yeah, that's where I grew up. What brought me to Seattle, I don't know, almost 30 years ago, was this little company called Microsoft. And
I think I heard of them.
And that's where I started my career after computer science. And what drew me, you know, to Microsoft and really my career trajectory was this notion of applications of technology, right, to deliver practical value. So even though I had a degree in computer science, I never wrote a line of code. I don't think our CTO, my partner at Applied, is even going to hire me as a developer. I don't think I can do any of that. But when it comes to, you know, hey, how do you create practical value from technology? That's what gets me going. So that was my career trajectory. That is my career trajectory. And along the way, you know, I've had the experiences of working in companies of all sizes, right? Obviously, there's the super large, there's Microsoft. There was a stint in, after that where I went to a startup. And there was three of us. We were building something. So complete early stage startup, build something of value, zero to one. And then, the last decade or so has been everywhere in between. Companies of different sizes, growth stages. But the common thing in all that has been software, software as a service, the application of data and AI. Even before AI was AI, it was called machine learning, even until 3 years ago. And all that to create practical value. That's been the common thread. Okay.
Okay, so you got a real interest in that,
Oh, I mean,
huh?
that's my career now. So,
Yeah,
and I love it.
right. So I just to digress a moment. When I've been to Seattle about a dozen times, every time because I used to work a lot with Safeco, and back in the days when I was doing that, it was always sunny when I got there. So I was because people used to make fun of Seattle, like they say, oh, people drink a lot of coffee in Seattle because they want to be awake when the sun comes out, you know. And it's like this like joke. I guess it. I mean, it's a different kind of rain. When we get rain here, I'm talking to you from Florida, St. Pete, Florida. It pours here. It just friggin' pours. But out there, I'm told it's like a softer rain. Is that true too, or am I making that all up?
Yeah, it is 100% true. So first of all, it's more like a mist, right?
Mist.
So
Yeah.
this gray mist, so you have a lot of that. How do I know that? I like to spend my time on the golf course as well outside of work, and I don't play in pouring rain. I just don't play. So I look at the number of rounds I have in a year, and I know I'm not playing in the rain. And so no complaints. The little mist, cloudy
That's
skies,
great.
that's okay.
Yeah, it is just a beautiful town. I'm an East Coast guy, so when you grow up on East Coast, you get used to this kind of thicker, humid air. But it's also like I'm pretty sure it's all the pollution that's in the country. It just moves west to east and winds up on this side of the coast. You guys have all that nice, fresh Pacific air. I
Well,
love it.
I love it. I would not want to be anywhere else. Like I said, this has been home for almost 30 years, and I love it for all those reasons.
Well,
And
isn't
by
it
the way,
great that you can work at a company where you can do that most of your time? I'm sure you travel a lot, but the world has changed, you know, from work almost like a place you went to, and today it's more of a thing you do, and you can do that thing anywhere thanks to technology. You know, it's great.
Yeah, no, that's right. And even at Applied, Peter, we have a remote first culture, right? But that said, we also have enough opportunities to get together, right? But there's intention involved behind that, right? So you want to get together for working sessions. You have a specific workshop you want to do. You want to bring people from different functions and collaborate on something. And by the way, you want to have some fun while you're doing your workshops, and then at evening just hang out with people. We
Yeah.
still have opportunities to do that, but day to day, right? It's very much a remote first culture. But we think one of the things that helps in that, Peter, is video on. So we have a culture of keeping our video on, right? Because I think there's just a lot more to be said than just, hey, it's video is off. Who knows what you're doing? Maybe you're multitasking, maybe you're, doing something else. So I think just being present is an important part of making this work.
Yeah, that's so true. There's always I've noticed there's always one person on a big, call we have with a client or something. There's always one person who's always off. And even when they speak, it just seems so detached, you know. I think you're spot on. A lot of companies have said that, you know, they if you're going to be on Zoom, you have to have your video on. I think it's important. Totally agree with you.
We see a pretty high degree of participation rates, with that expectation, and people really appreciate that. Of course, we also understand, once in a while, you've got to do something, you've got to pick up your kid or do whatever else, fine. But for the most part, I think people are really engaged and keep their videos on, and that works.
Yeah, maybe you're having a bad hair day, you know, you never know. So tell Anupam, what are you working on now at Applied System? Tell us something good. What do you got? What do you got for me?
We've got a lot of good stuff, right? We've got a
Okay.
lot of good stuff brewing. Like I said, I've been here about 3 years,
Okay.
and we know that we have a lot of work cut out to just improve the agency management system. Epic, EasyLinks, there's two agency management systems that Applied has, and at the core, that's what really helps an agency, run efficiently and grow their business. That's the core. There are so many opportunities, Peter, to just improve and make the agency management system awesome. So I think that's what really drives us, right? And when I say awesome, it's awesome for different users. So think about, who's using Epic or EasyLinks on a day-to-day basis. right? It's the CSR. It's the account manager. They're working on renewals. They're working on new business, right? They're selling, they're bringing new business in. It's the decision makers or the owners or the regional heads, right? They want more visibility into how the business is going. So when we think about all those user personas, and when we think about, what will help them in their day-to-day, that's what drives us when I say, let's make the agency management system awesome. So if you go one level deeper, in that, what does that mean? That means, we look at different workflows where there are opportunities to improve their daily lives, right? A lot of that is the servicing workflows. A lot of that is their commercial lines workflows, because we hear from owners all the time that that's what's going to drive their growth. Commercial benefits, that's what drives their growth. Well, there are opportunities to make those workflows awesome, right? So we're working on that. And then, I think through all this, the other thing we're working on, and we can have a deeper conversation, is data and AI just have a huge role to play in everything I described. And I think now, especially with AI, every single workflow I talked about, whether it's improving servicing, it's improving commercial lines, there are tangible, practical opportunities, right, for data and AI to help. I think that's what we are working on. At the end of the day, it's really making the agency management system awesome for different users in specific workflows.
Yeah, I mean, if you can put awesome and insurance in the same sentence, that's a big accomplishment. But yeah, no,
Well,
I
I tell
so
you,
can
there's tons of opportunities. We can talk about that, but there's tons of opportunities. Like I said, we
yeah.
have our work cut out, but this is the kind of stuff that gets me going.
Yeah. Okay. So can you be a little more specific in terms of let's talk first about commercial lines. How do you see it getting better? How do you see it getting awesome? What needs to happen in that workflow for new business workflows and renewals?
Yeah.
And
So to
servicing
be
too, servicing.
well, let's start with commercial lines and then we'll move to servicing. How's that?
Yeah. Yep.
Cool. So within commercial lines, Peter, we've spent a ton of time really understanding the problems and the needs of our users. We spent tons of time, visiting them in agencies, talking to different user roles, and I think there's some common patterns that emerge. I think the headline is that the overall process of quoting and submissions, okay, it's wildly inefficient. It's just wildly inefficient. So what does that mean? Well, first of all, start with all the forms that you have to fill out, right? Any commercial risk, different policies, you've got obviously your basic forms, you've got all your supplementals, you've got to fill all that out. The data from the management system doesn't automatically pre-fill a lot of that today. Then you've got to go out to your client. Oftentimes, you send them a form, they'll email you back. It goes back and forth, right? There's manual inefficiency because it just takes multiple steps. So that's one problem, right? Just filling out forms is a problem. Second, when you think about getting quotes back, right? Sometimes you get a quote back, via APIs, an instant quote. Sometimes you don't. And if you don't get a quote back, you're back to the manual thing. You're back to filling out a form. You're back to sending that out. So again, inefficiency. So then the other thing that happens is once you send out a form, let's say you're an agent, you send it out to your underwriter, it's kind of like a black box. Sometimes you get a response immediately. Sometimes you have to wait for days. Sometimes they come back and they say, hey, I need more information. There's back and forth that happens. That back and forth might take 2 to 3 weeks on average. Meanwhile, you haven't closed a quote. You haven't bound the policy. You're waiting 2 to 3 weeks. On the carrier side, as we talk to underwriters, they have another problem. They get too many submissions, and oftentimes almost 30, 35% of them might not even be looked at, right? Because they just don't have the time to look at all submissions. So if you look at this entire journey that I talked about in quoting and submissions, right, there is just a ton of inefficiency. So I think that's what we zero in on. So when we say, okay, well, what can technology do to solve that? Well, think about improving their entire journey. Think about, taking data that flows from policy data to forms. Think about client collaboration tools like Indio that can help, a client and an agent work on the same form without the manual back and forth of email. Think about a unified workflow that brings, email submissions and quoting together. Think about future systems in which an underwriter maybe is looking at the same information that an agent has, and they're collaborating, kind of like you can collaborate on a Google document, right? So think about all these steps, and I think technology just has a role to play, and that's a big thing that we're working on right now.
So can you talk a little more about the role of Indio? I know you guys made that acquisition a few years back. What does Indio do specifically?
Yeah, so Indio is an awesome, I'll use the word again, when we bought them in 2019, Indio was one of the market leading forms technologies. So essentially what they did is they digitized, at that time, I think it was 10,000 plus forms. Now I think it's a library of 40,000 plus forms of all types. There's obviously the basic, accord forms, but there's all these supplementals that agencies and carriers use, and they digitize those forms. And behind the scenes, it's a no-code platform. And what that means is you can make updates to forms very, very easily without having code written. So for example, think about COVID, right? At COVID time, let's say carriers added, their own questions, new questions. Instead of, having developers now update all those screens in the agency management system, Indio forms could be updated instantaneously, right? So that's a power. So not only is it digitizing forms, but the other key part of Indio is that a client and the agent can collaborate to fill out information. So essentially, you have a form, you as an agent send it to the client. The client, works in that form, they type in some information. Immediately, you collect all that information from the client. There's no back and forth, and that just speeds up the whole process. So that's the power of forms technology. Let me pause there.
Yeah, there's a lot of forms. What's interesting is a lot of carriers are asking questions on submissions, supplemental questions that they don't even need. It's very strange. They're just sort of legacy questions that they might ask 10 questions and use two, but it's still a hoop that agents have to jump through. So anything that can be easier there is great.
Well, one of the things we're doing just on that, as we think about the future, is kind of this taxonomy, this common taxonomy, right, of all the fields that are in different forms. And imagine if you're able to mark which one is a mandatory field and which one is an optional field. Imagine if you knew that for 100 fields in a form, and let's say 20 of them are mandatory. Okay, great. Well, that's a speed pass. So now agents, if you just fill out the 20 forms or 20 fields, maybe you can get a quote back quickly from the carrier, and that just speeds up the whole process that I talked about. So I think there's things like that that we can do on top of the core forms platform to just address some very practical challenges in this journey.
Okay. So, can you talk a little about what you're doing with AI? Because if you think about there's a lot of hype out there about it. There's a lot of insurtechs who say they're using it in different ways and so forth. If you believe all that's said and written about it, you feel like it's going to cause a leapfrogging of some technology, frankly, like agency management systems. Are there things with AI that you see, look at, and say, "Wow, that'll completely eliminate things we're doing," like a true, the coin a phrase, a cliche, game changing. So, how do you keep up with it? How do you know that the changes you're describing, that I think you guys call it a digital round trip of insurance, that you don't get leapfrogged by some of the technology out there?
Yeah, so first of all, just AI as a technology, I am convinced, we are convinced that it's no more just hype. That this is real, this is here to stay, this is here to add game-changing value in very practical ways. So it's not hype, it's real. Okay, so I'll start with that. The second thing I'll say is that, we are completely all in on AI. Right. Even though it's early in the productization journey and releasing, products, et cetera, there's so many more I'll talk about in a second that we will release to customers, but we are all in. And one example of that is last year we acquired a company called Plank that is based in Israel, a team of about 50 amazing engineers, right? All AI engineers, who've been working in the insurance space, but also have done all this in the past with other companies that they've sold to big tech players in the past. right? So we bought that team, and we bought that fundamentally because we had the belief that you need really good AI talent to take advantage of all the opportunities that are out there. So now that's our AI team, and obviously we have other teams as well, but we have, core talent in the company. So then we okay, so that's the basics, right? Now you say, okay, well, how can you what's the value? What's the value of AI? So I kind of look at that in every single step. So let me give you a couple of examples. In servicing, you're talking about servicing earlier. One of the problems that happens is that CSRs are absolutely inundated by the number of emails that come in and the number of inquiries that are coming in from clients, right? Clients are asking them for their deductibles. Clients are asking them for some policy change, et cetera, et cetera. In all those cases, they have to go and find information, right, to answer the question. But oftentimes what happens in insurance, Peter, as you know, is that the information is sometimes it's entered in Epic or EasyLinks. Other times it's sitting in a document. It could be a policy document, it could be a statement, it could be a quote, it could be whatever, right? It's documents and the AMS. Finding information with AI becomes amazing. This is that whole leapfrog, opportunity. Think about the Google-like experience, where if you go to Google now, it's no longer just Google search, but they're also injecting AI-driven results. And so now you just get more, smarter answers. So think about the same experience to help agents, find information. That's one very practical use case that we are working on. Then think about, okay, now I need to respond to my client. Well, maybe AI can actually draft a response based on everything they found, that AI has found as information, and I can look and edit that response. It just saves me, 30 seconds or 1 minute. Maybe I can now summarize the email and save that, in the AMS because I need to keep, an audit trail and I need to keep documentation in the AMS. Okay, great. Again, AI can help. Let's say I'm filling out forms. I talked to you about that earlier. Well, how about pre-filling all the information that the AI can find from different sources across the web? And, how about pre-filling all that? Because that'll save you time. So there's opportunities there. Take another one. When you are working on a renewal for a particular account, we have a new product that we are launching with AI. This is a Flank delivered product called Applied Book Builder. And what that does is, based on the client that you're working on, Applied Book Builder would go out and find all the characteristics of that business based on information that is available on the web. So if you're a restaurant and you serve liquor, it'll say that, hey, you need to have liquor liability. It'll even look inside your policies today and say, do you have liquor liability or you don't? And if you don't, that becomes a recommendation to the agent to essentially add that to the policy at renewal. So in all these examples I'm giving you, from servicing to renewals, to document processing, there are so many opportunities that AI can add practical value. And that's why we made the whole step of let's get a team that can really help us accelerate, all of that.
Is Book Builder, was that an acquisition or is that something you guys built would be a plank?
We built that's the first product that we built via Plank, and we are actively in pilot right now. We'll be
Okay.
launching that over the next couple of months. You'll see it if you're at AppliedNet. You'll see it in action. The feedback we're getting is fantastic because today, think about what those account managers have to do. Unless they are an experienced account manager and they know the account inside and out, okay? Otherwise, they have to go out and research about that account on the web and then really figure out, through hundreds of pages of policy documents, if a certain coverage exists or not, and AI can help in all that. So we are seeing very tangible value in the renewals process. And we're also seeing customers ask us, hey, can I also get that for prospecting? Because when I go and talk to a new business now, right, I'd love to know everything about the business so that I can have an intelligent conversation, right, with that prospect. So I think Book Builder addresses both renewals and prospecting, and you'll see it in action at AppliedNet.
That's really cool. In my long insurance communications career, I at one thread, there's many threads, but one that you bring to mind is that a lot of American families and businesses are underinsured. They may be overinsured in some places, but largely underinsured. And it might not be that they absolutely need something, but things like cyber, liquor liability, to me seem kind of important. And a lot of agents need help. If mainly it's a time thing, but they need help in understanding what they should offer to customers. So like you said, that recommendation. That sounds very useful because the customer may not buy it, but I know from my research, doing discussion groups and quantitative research, that consumers, business owners really appreciate the ask. Like, thank you for, I hadn't thought of that. It's risk management. Like, I could buy these six additional policies beyond my BOP policy, but which ones do I really need? And then you can have a discussion that's meaningful to the client. So I think that's great. The other thing that you remind me of is that people hate, as consumers, you call whatever, United Airlines, or you call credit card or whatever, and they repeatedly ask you for information they have. Now, part of it's security, but when we repeatedly ask people, like, what's your address and what's this and what's your policy number, stuff that honestly, we got to get past that. I think this kind of thing where you're pre-filling and you know more and more about the customer will be of value to the customer. So that's good stuff.
Absolutely. And by the way, those stories that you're talking about, where you can have an intelligent conversation with the business owner, that's exactly what we are seeing in our pilots, right? There was in one case, I think it was a family business, and there was a recommendation made to get D&O insurance, right? Directors and officers, liability insurance. And at least the account manager could have a conversation. And then, they could determine that, hey, maybe I don't need that because I'm a family-owned business. But the client, the owner in this case, really appreciated the conversation to your point. And we are hearing so many more stories like that. It's also an E&O thing for the agency to be able to just address any E&O gaps, that seems to be valuable for the agencies as well.
Yeah, I think the other that's a great example. Another one that is very common is our the idea of a personal umbrella policy, and certainly commercial umbrella policy is so critical given what's going on with lawsuits today and social legal system abuse and so forth. But not only having a policy period, an umbrella, but also the limits, discussion around that is critical, because even if you're not, like, the D&O wouldn't have been appropriate, but maybe that family business, they serve on volunteer boards, and that those volunteer organizations may or may not have D&O to protect them, but an umbrella could step in. So there's so many things that happen in our life where if you had a chance. And the other thing I will say in my experience is a lot of agents just rinse and repeat what the customer may have had. So if it's a new business opportunity, the chance to talk about what they really need, forget about what you had now. Why are you talking to me as a potential new agent? Something went wrong. It was bad communication. I had a bad claim, whatever it was. But here's an opportunity to really do the right thing for somebody. So having those tools that can speed up the time, I think, is really important. I like that.
100%. And one of the things that we've learned in this, Peter, on top of that, right, that building trust with AI is really important, right, for the agent. So when we give them a recommendation, the other thing that we're really liking is that we answer the why. Why are we making the recommendation to have a D&O insurance or cyber or something else? And we show them, right, specifically based on these data points that we found, right, we are making this recommendation. But just another example, there was another client who a very experienced account manager thought that they knew inside and out. And it's Bookbuilder in this case made a recommendation for railroad coverage. And they were like, well, I don't need this. This doesn't make any sense. And then sure enough, there was a why, and there was a link to their website, which sure enough listed railroad coverage that the account manager didn't know about. And this is the whole thing about things change. So you might think that you know the client, but what happens if suddenly something changed? AI can find the up-to-date information and build trust by showing you a link to exactly where that is coming from.
That's awesome. So at the end of this year, 2025, it's a lot for the average agency owner and staff, maybe even the lar more sophisticated broker, looking at the technology changes coming. Are there things you think these folks should be doing, your clients should be doing when it comes to AI? What should they be How should they be using it beyond the management system, perhaps even the things you're embedding? What could they be experimenting with? And all the noise, what do you recommend that they do? Because I'm sure you've done that yourself. You're a curious guy. You're looking at stuff, all right, and it's cool. But if you look at the constituents, what about them?
Yeah, so let me start out with me as an individual and our users as individuals. Let's just start out with that. And then we'll come to more insurance-specific use cases. First of all, I think in everything I do on a day-to-day basis, I'm finding myself use AI more and more. So if I'm working on summarizing some customer research, I'm reading some research, I want a summary, I want the big takeaways. If I'm interviewing some candidates and I want to compare candidates, and I want to compare that against my criteria, I might use AI. So I'm a heavy user of AI, and I use tools like Gemini, ChatGPT. I'm personally more of a heavy Gemini user, but all of them are becoming awesome. And so I would just suggest just use these tools and just see the power of that in your day-to-day lives and day-to-day use cases, because it just opens your eyes as to how quickly the technology is moving. So that's the starting point. Then when it comes to your work, right? And hey, what can you expect? I think there's a couple of things that are already rolling out. So for example, in the management system, in Epic and in EasyLinks, we now have our first widely deployed use case around summarizing emails that is out there in Epic. It's out there in EasyLinks. And thousands of users, CSRs and account managers, have already used it on millions of emails. The alternative was they were manually dragging and dropping an email. They were writing the summary. It was taking them time because they needed to document that in the management system. Now AI can do it for them. And this went through all the testing. Users like the summary. It helps them. It's a very tangible example, right? So that's one example of servicing where you can cut down time out of your day. Other examples, by the end of this year, advanced tools like I just described to you, Book Builder, helping you with renewals, helping you with prospecting. These things are becoming real. So at a minimum, try them out. See if you get, if you get day-to-day, kind of tangible benefits in your jobs, right? So there's that. Another use case that we haven't talked about that I think is becoming real as well is all around accounting teams and all these thousands of carrier statements that come in, right? That they have to look at manually to say, hey, what's my commission? Or they have to look at manually to say, how much should I pay out to a carrier? And again, AI can help in use cases like that. So my point is, across what you do as an individual day to day, use AI, get curious, and then start experimenting with tools that are coming out that are insurance specific and see if that helps you in your day-to-day lives. Give feedback to the companies like us who are building these tools, and you'll be amazed at how quickly, innovation is emerging.
Yeah, that makes sense. And it's like any other technology, right? You gotta try it.
Lean in, just lean in and try it out.
All right, Anupam, anything else that you're working on you want to share or can share with the listeners?
I think just this, right? Like overall in all this, the frame of mind for us, the framework for us is, hey, all these different workflows, how can they become more connected and intelligent? I think this notion of connected, intelligent workflows is what's driving us. We've just talked about promotion line submissions, we've talked about servicing, we touched a little bit on accounting, but I think every single workflow over time, I think is going to follow, kind of exactly this framework. So there'll be more to come, but I think there's plenty that we're looking forward to just releasing out there and seeing what our customers think.
All right, back to you for a moment, if you don't mind, as we wrap up here. Anupam, did you have somebody in your life that who may be now, maybe, or more than one person, a mentor? And wh why wh why did they stand out so much for you?
Many people, Peter, kind of along the way, and I think it's kind of changed, right? I'm a lifelong learner, and what that means is I want to learn from every experience. I want to learn from people around me, right? That's kind of my mindset. That's just how I operate. So along the way, in my startup journey, when I left Microsoft, I know I was inspired by a friend of mine who was a serial entrepreneur, and at that time was doing a second startup. And I think by now he's done kind of multiple, even more than that, and sold many times over, right? So that was an inspiration at that point in time, and some of those lessons stayed with me. At a later point in time, there was the venture capitalist, who I worked with, our partner who was financing us. And I learned a lot about not just, building products, but building a real business and finding, product market fit and things like that. The last stint before I came to Applied, I got my own kind of practical PhD, if you will, in data and AI, because the company that I was working with, the co-founder of that company was the ex-head of computer science at Northwestern University in Chicago. And when you talk about data science, a complete data science expert. So there I learned, again, how to just think from a data perspective, and it's very, very different. I think all those have been, influences over time. And I think now what I do is not only do I carry those influences, but frankly, the thing that I do is there's so much good podcast content that is out there, and I'm learning all the time, but probably following about four or five, really good podcasts out there on specific topics. And I feel that there's a wealth of wisdom and mentorship that is available virtually at your own time, if you really want to tap into that.
Yeah, that's so true. Yeah, I try to listen to a lot of different ones. Even some of the political ones, so I can learn what's going on in the world, try to get a little more balance. But and I have a wide variety of things I listen to on, life and business ownership and things like that. And of course, the insurance pod, there's a lot of good insurance podcasts as well. We started in 2009. I think it was what the first one at the time or close to it, and now there must be 100. And they're good. They're all good. All different age groups as hosts, which is important because you get different perspectives on things, and it's very cool. Is there any last question on Anupam? Any piece of advice that is serves as maybe your mantra that you could share with us?
There's a few. Like I said, I'm a lifelong learner, and I think I've picked up a few gems along the way, Peter. So let me share maybe two with you that I like. The first one, I think this is so true, is ideas are easy, execution is everything. And I think this one was, I believe it's John Doerr, who's a general partner at Kleiner Perkins, a super successful venture capital firm in Silicon Valley. Ideas are easy, execution is everything. And that just speaks to me. So that's one. And then the second one is actually from where I started my career, Microsoft. Satya Nadella, who's the CEO from there of Microsoft, as we all know, he has this thing around don't be a know-it-all, but be a learn-it-all. And I think I just love that, right? Because there's so many times you come across people who think that they know everything, they're not that curious. But, hey, if you really have that learning mindset, you dig in, you ask the right questions, you want to learn from people around you. I mean, that's me. So anyway, those two I think are quote unquote my mantras.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah, nobody has all the answers, right?
No.
But some of us try to put on airs that they do have an answer. It's nobody has all the answers. We all put our shoes on the same way. You can learn a lot from each other. So I like that. Those are great. I like that. Both of those say a lot to me. And I could. This may be a further extension of your first one about ideas versus execution. But a lot of people, I'm sure you ran into this, in big companies, certainly Microsoft, Applied's a big company too. There are a lot of people with ideas, and there's a lot of people who like to talk. I have no idea if this is your experience at your two companies, but in my experience in the corporate world, there's more people that feel comfortable talking and but man, when it comes down to brass tacks, what are we going to do with all these great ideas, guys? I mean, at some point we got to do something, right? We can't just talk. And it's so hard to execute sometimes. Think of all the things that could go wrong, and it's risky. But there's experimentation is one way you get better. I mean, failure is a good thing as long as you learn from it.
Well, that's right. Like, when you talk about innovation, and maybe we can end on that note, when we talk about innovation, it's not just about the idea. I think the idea is important. What the why behind it is important, right? But then how do you really bring that to life? How do you work with your customers? How do you really hone it? How do you really iterate? How do you learn quickly? Right? All those things matter. And I think that's what comes down to execution. So just the fact that you had this brilliant idea is not going to bring it to life.
Very true. All right. Well, thank you so much for being with us. And I look forward to seeing you at ApplyedNet.
Well, thank you for having me. Enjoy the
Okay.
conversation, Peter, and I'll see you soon.
This has been On Point with Peter Van Aartrijk, a podcast presentation of Wells Media Group.